Hi, hello, and welcome to the Sex Sells Podcast. I am your host, Eliza, and if you're new here, this is a podcast where we talk about sex, relationships, society, culture, psychology, etc. And today has been a good day. I am in a good mood. I've just woken up from a little nap. That's great. It's the middle of the day on Wednesday, and yeah, I have been in very high spirits every day, but especially recently. And I think a big part of that is just feeling like I am living in alignment with exactly where I'm supposed to be in life, and everything just feels like, you know what, I gotta touch wood. Things are falling into place exactly how I've always wanted and dreamt of it to be. And I'm referring to just things going on with my family life. Pregnancy's going smoothly for once. Remy's great. And I've launched my business a couple of weeks ago. And it's been such an amazing journey. And I'm loving it. It's been so great working with you guys. I think all of my clients are podcast listeners. Hi guys, shout out. And I've just had such a great time working with you all. And yeah, it's been amazing, which kind of leads me onto the topic of this day, which is self-esteem. So if you remember last week, I talked about, I think it was last week, the comfort zone. I'm pretty sure it was. And I was saying, you know, that was something that had been on top of mind for me, but it really feels like what is top on mind for you guys has been talking about self-esteem. Because actually it's funny, when I launched my business, I kept hearing people, and especially other people that were coaches and not just general therapists, but were coaches, saying, you know, you think you go in with an idea of what you'll specialize in, but the niche just seems to fall into your lap. And I was like, I know what my niche is. It's definitely couples and relationships. That's like what I'm known for. It's what I'm passionate about, blah, blah, blah. Yet every single client, almost all of them, like 90% of my clients, have come to me for building self-esteem. And I get so many inquiries a day, like 5 different inquiries a day from potential clients or people wanting to work with me on building their self-esteem. And I just thought, wow, this niche has really fallen into my lap, and I would have never thought that. But I also was thinking, oh, why is that? That's interesting. And I do have a few that are here with couples or wanting to seek skills in their relationship, etc. But I just was, yeah, really surprised by that being the most prevalent and prominent, I guess, thing that people wanted to talk to me about. And I was thinking, is this a massive issue in today's society that I have been almost unaware of how severe it is, considering how many people have reached out to me about this? Or is it me attracting people that think that I would be working best with them to help them through that? And I'm starting to think it's the second, because I've realized, well, I know about myself, there's one thing I know I'm really good at, and that is making people feel good about themselves, and not just temporarily, but being able to instill things in them to grow their confidence, identify their strengths, know their values, and really, really feel good about themselves. And I've always had that feedback about my life. So maybe that's just been something that you guys have been picking up on. And also, it's been a very a strong personal journey I went through myself as well, with super, super low self-esteem that I had for many years, and came through the other end of it. So I do relate and understand so much about what it's like to have really low self-esteem. And all I can say is that when you have high self-esteem, your life is infinitely better. Like, just imagine being able to wake up every single day feeling positive about yourself, feeling good about the way you are, your traits, your personality, the way you look, the way you contribute to the world, and just feeling this is who I am, this is who I'm meant to be, and I'm fucking proud of that. And the thing is about me when I had low self-esteem versus when, you know, now having high self-esteem is of course I've done a lot of things in my life and then because when I had low self-esteem it was years and years ago. But my core personality traits and my looks are the same. In fact, I might have been better looking. It probably was actually better looking back then. But I thought I was disgusting. I would just think the most horrific things about myself. And because I thought them about myself, I thought them about other people as well. And it was just a miserable way to live. And it's funny, like when I think back on that, about how of a dark period that was for me, but I never ever would have considered myself to be, you know, depressed, wasn't anxious, wasn't anything. It was just that I had low self-esteem. And it's like, you know, you have one life that we know of. let's just say we're currently conscious of one life and experiencing one life right now. Let's not go through our entire life not being an ally to ourselves. Let's not waste year after year after year thinking negatively, saying, "Oh, if I had this, I could be doing better. If I was better looking, then this would happen. If I had more money, then this would happen." Those thoughts do not help us whatsoever. They do not benefit us in any way. And this is one of the primary learnings that I had to teach myself. Was you cannot hate yourself into loving yourself. It doesn't fucking work. It's just going to make you feel even more shit, find more flaws in yourself, more flaws in others. And then even when amazing things are happening in your life, you won't be paying attention to it. You'll be fixating on the negative things. In fact, this is something I'm working on with a client. By the way, if you ever hear me say I'm working on this with a client right now, that has been pre-discussed. Consent can share in my podcast. I wouldn't share anything that I'm working on with a client without them pre-agreeing to this. But I'm working on this with a client right now who said that he has achieved fantastic things in his life. He's done leaps and bounds and amazing academic progress and physical progress. He's achieving everything that he thought he needed to achieve in order to be the best version of himself. Yet he still can only see the negative. He can only fixate on everything that is negative about himself. And it's my heart breaks for people like this, and I understand it, but gosh, like it holds you back so much in life. And until you work on your self-esteem, you will never be proud of yourself enough to be like, okay, yep, I've made it now. Like, you know, it's like, it's that old saying that when people get really into health and fitness, and if they have a low self-esteem, all of a sudden you're skinny and all of a sudden you're ripped and you're like still unhappy, or you even fixate on your body even more, finding more flaws. And it's just, it's unhealthy emotionally and physically for you to be in this way. But yeah, my point is you only have the one life. You also have the ability to make that life fucking good. And that doesn't mean necessarily changing everything around you. Sometimes it is literally just changing something within you and changing your perspective on things, or changing your perspective on everything. And you can teach yourself to be someone that is a positively skewed person. I've talked about this a little bit, about how we are biologically driven to be a negatively skewed individual. So it is literally a survival mechanism that is deeply ingrained in us to see the negative, so that we're always scanning for things to be conscious of and look out for. Back in the hunting gathering days, like, oh, we should be cautious about trusting this person, or we should be careful going down this track. We haven't been down there before. We don't know if there are tigers or whatever down there. And like, it wasn't beneficial to be like, oh, I'll go down here, everything's okay, like when everything could kill you back then. And we still have that in ourselves. So when you meet positive people that are naturally positive, they've either done a lot of work or they had 10 out of 10 parents that put so much effort into having their child with an upbringing that made them super, super positive. And the chances of that happening are like 1% because it's very, very unlikely. Although, of course, it's possible. So most positive people weren't born that way. It's something that they've either learned themselves, that has been ingrained in them. But we have to unlearn our negative perception. We have to unlearn that it is something that is deep within us, and we have to be like, okay, this no longer helps us. This no longer benefits us. Here's a new way of thinking. And it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of skill. But being able to wake up and experience life where you are a friend to yourself, you love yourself, you're an ally to yourself is infinitely better than the current circumstance. And, you know, not only did I go through this myself and went through that journey over years of like working towards improving my self-esteem, I think of another reason why you guys come to me and that I was really overwhelmed with gratitude about the success and clients I've received immediately. And I think, you know, a part of that is I've spent over $100,000 into my education and personal development, into my academic background. Like, there is a lot of fucking knowledge I have. I'm not going to lie. There's over 8 to 10 years of research and study plus at least $100,000, definitely more, like at the minimum. That's just what my university degrees total. so much personal investment that I truly can give you guys the best of the knowledge that's going to be like, okay, this is what is going to be the best for you specifically. This is what is tailored to you to help you go through this growth and to improve in life. And I think that is what differentiates me from a lot of other like life coaches in specific, a lot of life coaches that have a niche, it is usually something they've gone through, but they're like, because I've gone through this, this is the way to go. But the way that I go through something is not the way that you guys are going to go through something. It's very different. You have to take so many things into account. You have to take people's soft spots, their triggers, their limitations, the barriers, their trauma, their values, their perceptions, the lens they have, their cognitive distortions. You have to be aware of all these things so that you can bring someone forward and be like, hey, this is what is going to be the best way for you moving forward. So anyways, I didn't mean that to be such a long plug into working with me, but if you'd like to work with me, reach out to me via Instagram, Eliza Joy Therapeutic Coaching, or my website, www.elizajoytherapeuticcoaching.com. You can inquire there. And I'm currently also working on some digital masterclasses. For those that can't afford to work with me, I'll say two things. One, there are payment plans available. So you can, if that helps, we can do fortnightly payments, split payments, blah, blah, blah. And two, you sometimes have to, and I hope this doesn't come across sleazy saying this, but sometimes you have to invest in yourself. And it's really interesting that people can feel really comfortable spending $800 on, you know, the Dyson whatever the fuck it's called, or just a Dyson, but they can't justify spending $800 into their personal development, which will literally change the outcome of their life permanently. And I did this myself. I spent $1,200 once on, years ago, on a fitness coach. And she took all this information about me, blah, blah, blah. She made me a plan, which was great. And it was a 12-week program. And God, I literally was in the best shape of my life, by the way. Like it absolutely worked for me. But after she made me this program, we would have every week a less than 10-second conversation via Messenger. Show me your stats. Have you lost weight? Have you lost centimeters? Are you struggling with any exercise? No, you're not struggling. Yep, you've lost weight. Yep, you've lost centimeters. Okay, let's check in next week. I literally paid $1,200 for her to do like an hour of work in figuring out a plan for me. Or maybe it was even already a pre-made plan. I don't even know. But that worked. That worked so much for me. So imagine investing a similar amount or less and being able to have literally weekly, hour-long therapeutic coaching plus communicating in between. Invest in yourself. That's all I will say. Even if that investing in yourself is going in, you know, those expensive gyms that have like the hydrotherapy spas or the red light rooms or the saunas or the ice baths and shit like that. And you're like, oh my God, this is $70 a week. That's so outrageous for a gym. If it's going to improve your well-being, it's absolutely worth investing in. Don't put yourself in severe financial strain, obviously, but invest in yourself before you go and spend, you know, like, oh, well, I just bought a couch for $3,500, but I won't do this. Or I buy that Dyson vacuum for $850, but I won't do this. You know, like, we got to prioritize this. And it's funny how, like, a lot of people are so inside their own bubble about themselves, and they can only, especially people with low self-esteem, and this is actually something that I experience as well, which is really interesting, is that you have such low self-esteem and yet all you can think about is yourself. Like, you have no you put no value in yourself or your life, but all you can think about is yourself in a negative way. Like, it's freeing to not think about yourself that much, to be honest, or just think positively about yourself. And so I think that it's funny how we're like, I fixate on myself and my problems and my flaws so much, but I won't do something that is going to benefit me. And also, I've said this a million times in my podcast, you can do this work on your own. And there are steps you can take that will help you and be effective. But most of the time that it can help to have someone or an expert that is literally guiding you through this process, making these changes permanent, holding you accountable, challenging you when you need to be, being an ally to you, being a cheerleader for you, celebrating your successes with you, and teaching you, okay, here's how you can talk about yourself in a positive way. Here's how you can get over that barrier when you want to give up or you find it cringe, you know, doing a gratitude journal or whatever the fuck it is that you think that you need to do. So yeah, anyway, moving on. Moving on from talking about me. let's talk about you guys now and your low self-esteem. So obviously low self-esteem has a really significant impact on all aspects of life, including your relationships. And one of the impacts it has is obviously, first off, your negative self-perception. So you lack confidence in your abilities, your self-worth, you feel lowly about the way you look, the way you dress, whatever, just everything to do with yourself, you have a negative view of. And this leads to feelings of inadequacy, self-doubt, and it actually makes it difficult to assert yourself or pursue your goals. And this is something that I think is really like needs to be hounded in, is that when you have low self-esteem, you're not just feeling shit about yourself, but because of the fact you're feeling shitty about yourself, you're not going to put yourself out there and be like, here are my boundaries, or here's why you need to promote me, or here's why this. You're not going to be progressing in life the way you could be because you don't feel worthy of it. You don't feel adequate enough. You're embarrassed about the potential rejection, which I guess is another point as well, is having like people that have low self-esteem can be hypersensitive to criticism and rejection. Which is really interesting considering how much criticism and rejection we do internally to ourselves. But you are so, so sensitive to it. And I remember back in high school when I had really low self-esteem, if you guys are my age, you may remember this because it was literally like in a 4-year period and then it was gone off the internet forever. There was something called Form Spring, where basically you had a vlog, or everyone had their own page and people could submit anonymous questions or comments about you. And I remember getting a few comments that just like about the way I looked or about my body, I can't remember, but it shook me to my core. And I remember thinking, this is the worst thing I could have ever experienced. Like, I was shattered, and I didn't want to go out in public. I remember going out the next weekend to a party, or not to a party, to like a thing at the beach, and I literally wore a giant t-shirt swimming because I was so embarrassed. And ironically, I would kill to have that body like this day. Like, I was, anyway, that's irrelevant actually. But just how much someone's comments can truly impact you. Nowadays, if someone says something to me that is offensive or like an insult, which by the way rarely happens, or if it happens, I am paying zero attention to it. It rolls off my back in like 2 seconds flat and I never think about it again. Because actually, there's one thing I've been thinking about again. Someone said to me, your teeth are too big for your mouth. And I thought, fuck, are they? I've always been told I have perfect teeth. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I think this person's right. I think my teeth are too big for my mouth. Look at my Instagram and let me know what you think. Just kidding, don't. do not let me know what you think about that. But that's one of probably the only times that I've actually been like, wait, really? But any other time someone's insulted me, especially on a personality trait, it rolls off my back so fast, so fucking quickly, and I do not fixate on it. I do not focus on it. I do not care about it. And more often than not, in 99% of cases, I find it humorous. Like, well, how embarrassing for you that you've said that to me. Or like, how pathetic that you thought you have to point that out. That is the approach I have, rather than internalizing it, being like, I know that it's like my big, they've literally just hit me in my soft spot and blah, blah, blah. And there are still times actually that have come up for me recently that I've realized, even though I know my self-esteem is really high and I've done so much work into it, there are still blind spots I have, like a very, very minor case. And if someone that has low self-esteem, probably like, well, that's still a win. That's still like 10 times progress. But I had an inquiry with a client that's booked in with me, and she's really, I mean, I've met her, and she's really mature and soft-spoken and elegant and older than me, and just very much, yeah, very well-spoken and kind and gentle and serious as well. And I remember thinking as we were talking, I'm so surprised that she has come to me wanting to work with me, because I just somehow assume that people that are very like, serious and soft-spoken will find me too much or annoying or whatever. And I was like, hang on, that's really interesting. That is a belief that I've held, but I hadn't consciously thought of it. I just remember feeling, oh, that's surprising to me. So even that, like, there are still continuously years later, there will be things that come up that you're like, wow, that I did not realize that was a thing for me. Like, or me last week saying like, you know, I've always thought I'm fine to get out of my comfort zone. Then all of a sudden it came to promoting myself and my business, and I was like, oh, what the fuck? I do not want to do this. That's embarrassing. So things still come up, but, and it's not like when you have high self-esteem, you are completely bulletproof from having these things impact you or affect you anymore. But what you can do is be extremely resilient. You can rationalize very, very fast and recorrect your thinking or reframe it for yourself, which is amazing. So those things were very temporary thoughts for me that I had for like 20 minutes, you know, and then, or a day, and then it's gone. And also, you know, when I'm talking about this client reaching out to me and feeling surprised or whatever, and then there was like a brief flittering of a moment where I thought like, oh, does she know what I'm like? Like, does she know that I'm a bit like, I talk fast and loud and a bit go and really enthusiastic. Like, is that going to, I feel like it's such a contrast to her beautiful, soft, gentle energy. And I was like, well, hang on. She's hiring me because she knows me. And this is something that a few clients have said to me. Actually, almost all my clients have been like, you know, I've been listening to your podcast and it's so weird meeting you because I know you so well, but you don't know me. Like, my clients feel like they know me, or you guys feel like you know me. You do. You know so much about my life, my personality. So when I'm getting hired, you're getting hired based on, you know, the vibe that I bring, and you guys know whether or not we're going to connect and that's going to work with you. And another client that inquired with me said that, you know, they had worked with various mental health professionals before, and had, I can't remember if they had success with them, but they were like, I wanted to hire you because I know you, I know we'll connect, I know, like, that's the personality that I need for me right now to move me through to the next point. And I was like, that is great, because this is something that you don't get when you have a therapist, and often a coach is, you don't often get to know what they are like as a person, and it's something that you have to invest and take a risk on, especially if you are seeing, you know, a psychologist and you're talking about things that are treating your mental health diagnoses, which, by the way, disclaimer, I do not treat mental health diagnoses. You want to vibe with them, you want to connect with them. And a lot of people think, well, this is an expert, I have to take their advice. But I don't encourage doctor shopping or whatever, but I do encourage finding someone that works with you and having that long-term relationship with them. Like, some people I know, like, you know, therapists, you might see therapists for years, or you might have, like Adrian, my husband, he saw a counselor in his, I think he was in his teens, and she was just a very, like, soft, nurturing, loving woman, like mother type nurture. And he found it really helpful. He really connected with her compared to other, like, psychs or counselors he'd seen. And over the years, over like a 10 year span, like, he might go back 3 years later and just have one catch up session with her, and have, like, not catch up like a social catch up, but, like, you know, be like, I kind of want to address something, or I need to, like, debrief something. And they had that relationship for basically up until we moved into the Central Coast, like a really, like, long period of his life where he knew that there was someone he could go back to. And I think that's really rare and an amazing quality to have. So if you are currently receiving mental health support or seeing a psychologist or a counselor or a coach, I really encourage you to make sure that you feel good about that working relationship that you have, that you feel valued, you feel respected, but also you respect them and you get along to some extent. Or if you don't need to get along, that's amazing, that's perfect, but you just feel good about the connection that you have and the working relationship that you have, I think is really great. And yeah, anyway, God, I get off track so much. I wonder if that's annoying. Oh, well. So, yeah, fear of rejection, hypersensitive to criticism and rejection. And because of that, we can literally, having low self-esteem can literally lead us to avoid social situations or relationships for fear of being judged or rejected. And this is something that I talked about heaps last week, that you prevent yourself from doing things because you don't want that rejection. You don't want the shame. You don't want the embarrassment or whatever. And how much of our life are we holding ourselves back from because of our insecurity that we have manifested, an insecurity that we have created that does not need to be a permanent state in yourself. Having people that have low self-esteem, I think I've posted a reel on this actually on my Instagram. I have, about the types of people that, basically I was saying that if you have low, not in every case, but if you have low self-esteem and you have a pattern of wondering, you know, why am I getting in shitty relationships with shitty people? And the point I was making is that you are attracted to people, or you attract people in your life that will mirror you and reflect back or validate and reaffirm the core values you have of yourself. And everyone is a mirror to us. So have you ever seen, like, you've got a, you see like a group of like really toxic, bitchy girls and all they do is gossip and judge and talk shit about each other, but then they kind of like make each other feel shit and stuff as well. It's because we are literally mirrors. So who you have surrounding you and who you have in your life supporting you is so essential. I made a post on my Instagram about this yesterday, about like just the view change I had when it came to something simple like Remy's sleep. And there was like one party that I was initially kind of invested in and surrounding myself with, which was, you will never sleep unless you have a sleep consultant and you cry it out and you sleep train, like you're screwed and your child will never be independent. And I was so stressed. This is probably one of the things that has been literally so stressful for me in my adult life. I don't know why I was obsessed with this. And then I decided to change every single part of my circle about that surrounded me about children and infant sleep. So I unfollowed all those Instagram accounts. I stopped talking to those women on Facebook or friends that had sleep trained. And instead I found Facebook groups like biologically normal infant sleep. And I found Instagram pages, by the way, if you want me to send you those Instagram pages, one of them is Raised to Flourish and another one is Infant Sleep Specialist. And complete reframe of mind where they were like, if you have to hold your baby to sleep and they don't want to sleep alone, even as like a toddler or whatever, that is normal. That is developmentally normal. It is in our absolute innate, like primitive monkey brains to seek comfort from our caregivers. And denying them of that is not natural. And the fact that all of these other websites I was looking at before, when you Google, why won't my baby sleep? Why won't my 10-month-old sleep? Everything says, oh, they will never sleep on their own until you train them to sleep. And I spent thousands of dollars on sleep consultants because I kept getting different ones because I was like, none of this feels natural to me. Nothing about this feels natural. Ignoring my baby cry out for me is not something I'm comfortable with. And then anyway, I surrounded myself with peers, friends and family and websites and Instagram pages that said, this is normal, this is natural, this is positive, you know, you're meeting your children's needs, you're building that connection, that safety. And it made a huge difference to you. Who you surround yourself is extremely influential. And if you can't, you know, you can't choose your family, which is unfortunate. And sometimes they have a negative view of us, or sometimes we don't have friends and we don't have people in our circle that are going to challenge us when we need to in a gentle way, but are actually going to be there to celebrate you and your massive successes and identify your strengths. So if you are that person that cannot change circles, you cannot change family, and you want that and you seek that, you can find like counselors that specialize in like positive psychology. You can find, and I'd almost recommend, like, you know, a counselor can and a coach can kind of have that I'm here to make you feel, you know, really good about yourself and help you, you know, see the positives rather than you know, going to like, well, let's diagnose you, let's unpack this, or let's go back really far, like a psychologist. Not saying that psychologists can't do that role too, but they also have more of a duty to understand where this might stem from or whatever. So yeah, you can get a counselor, you can get a coach, you can get someone that's going to be like your ally, or a psychologist, to find someone that really can support you through this, because it is essential. Or a dog. A dog will always see the best in you. Actually, don't get a dog if you're not prepared for a dog, please. It's really sad, and I'll probably have to end up adopting it because I can't seem to say no. But yeah, moving on. But your circle is very important. Anyways, okay, so another thing, yeah, you end up in unhealthy relationship patterns. That's what I was getting at. So if you feel shit about yourself and you have low self-esteem, you feel that you're not worthy, you feel that you don't deserve a healthy, stable relationship, you are manifesting that. Look up the power of language. The what we put out is so significant. The way you talk, and this is why I have made, you all know I love reality TV because I love like gossip and juicy shit. My friend messaged me this morning and she's like, just a bit of like Wednesday gossip for you. And I immediately got excited being like, oh my God, this is like 10 minutes. I'm so excited to listen to this voice note or something. And which is interesting because I consciously try to avoid gossiping because it is a toxic behavior that focuses on the negative. I try very, very hard not to gossip. And I do fall into it sometimes. If something happens or someone's hurt me, I'll be like, I might go to a friend and be like, this, you know, this is fucked up. This is, and more of a debrief, I would say, not like, oh my God, and get this, she dyed her hair red and it clashes with her skin tone. Like, that shit, let's get rid of that. But it is the, what we say about others, first of all, it's funny, and you've heard me say this 10,000 times, but often what we say about others is a projection about what we dislike about ourselves. Like for me, it was talking about people that are like loud and bodacious, or I feel like are up themselves or overly confident, being an ick to me. But really, those are the things that deep down I'm insecure about within myself or find frustrating within myself. Like I might leave a party saying I dominated way too much of that conversation or whatever, and feeling like insecure about that. And that doesn't happen so much anymore, but it's definitely been like prevalent in my life. So when you talk shit about other people, you're really just talking shit about what you don't like in yourself. So pay attention to what you say about others because it's actually very insightful. It's really a projections and mirrors, smoke and mirrors. But yeah, so when you feel those things about yourself, you will find a partner subconsciously that validates and reaffirms those core beliefs that you have about yourself. So imagine if you feel good about yourself, you feel worthy of love, you feel worthy of loyalty, you feel worthy of an amazing partner, which for some reason, thank God, when it has come to romance, and this probably stems from having a really healthy, successful early teenage romance from the age of 14 to 18. And I had a very nice, healthy relationship, basically, with a boyfriend in high school. And probably stemming from that and the messages I received by my mom about love or whatever, I always had really high standards and high self-esteem when it came to what I deserve in a partner or in a boyfriend. And I've had a lot of boyfriends, as you guys will know, a lot of long-term relationships, 2, 3, 4 years. Long-term, I mean long-term for your 20s. And all of them were successful and amazing relationships because I knew what I brought into a relationship. I knew my worth. I knew that I contributed a lot of worth into these relationships, and I knew I deserved that back. And I knew that I would not take anything less than utmost loyalty, utmost respect, dedication, effort, you know, my love languages being met. I wouldn't take anything less than what I thought I deserve in a relationship. So I sought people, and I would only be attracted to people romantically that I knew would meet those needs in myself. And so I recommend improve your self-esteem to get healthier relationships. But it really has that effect on our entire life, doesn't it? And also because of that, when you have low self-esteem, you often lack boundaries because you don't feel confident enough to assert your boundaries. You question yourself. You have doubt. You just find it difficult in setting boundaries in relationships, friendships, work, whatever. And because of this, this can lead to being taken advantage of or being overwhelmed by others' demands. If you find like you're always saying yes to people, you're a people pleaser, or people is like, sometimes you have to be like, are you a people pleaser? Which is one thing kind of problematic in itself. Or are people just walking over you because you're allowing them to, because you don't feel that actually, no, hang on, I'm right here. I have every right to put this boundary in place. And if they choose not to respect that, that's on them. People that don't respect your boundaries have boundary issues within themselves. That's it. It's as simple as that. If someone is pushing back on your boundary, someone's like, oh, that's a bit over the top, or like, okay, calm down, it's not that big of a deal. Those people have boundary issues. And it is not on you to accept or resolve that or be like, oh, this is the best I can get. No. You put your boundary in place, and if they can't meet it, that's on them. See you later. Ciao. So yeah, that's something that can it can kind of negatively affect your life. Also, with low self-esteem, you tend to depend on external validation, which is why we're so sensitive to criticism and judgment, because we want validation and approval from others to feel worthy and lovable. And I also think this is a big reason that, you know, some of my clients subconsciously might be picking me to work on their self-esteem, because they know as well innately, whether or not they're consciously aware of this, that I will be the person that does give validation and approval to feel love and worthiness, and see their strengths in them and identify their strengths and talk about that and compliment them. And I absolutely will. And I will say it with 100% genuineness, but that is 1%. And 99% of it is going to be like, now I'm going to help you reach those things in yourself and be able to feel that way from yourself, rather than me making you feel that way or me saying those things to make you feel that way. You can make yourself feel that way. God, my hand gestures are going so crazy right now, even though no one can see me. So having a dependency on external validation can strain your relationships, and it creates an imbalance in your power dynamics. So when you are constantly seeking, I need this person to approve of me, I need them to feel good about me, which is a very, very common relationship dynamic, then you are subjecting yourself to bending over backwards for someone, not wanting to assert yourself because you don't want them to feel lowly about you or criticize you or reject you or roll their eyes at you, because you just cannot cope if that were to happen. So you are hindering yourself and you're hindering having an authentic, equal relationship. And I don't care if you want to be a trad wife. I don't care if you want to be stay at home cooking or whatever, or you want traditional gender roles or whatever. All relationships need to be equal, all of them, or it's just not going to work. And something that's interesting, this is that's a tangent, I'm not going to say that, but I will just say it because now it's on my mind. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but interesting thing about people that are into trad wives is they're always really, and trad wives are traditional wives, basically, where they want the husband to work, they want to be stay at home, and not only that, it's not like you're a stay-at-home girlfriend or whatever, or wife. It's also that you take a more submissive role. You believe that usually the man has, more say in the relationship, more this. And they kind of validate it saying like, I'm stepping into my absolute feminine. You can be a stay-at-home wife, by the way, and be a hardcore feminine. I'm literally a stay-at-home wife right now, a stay-at-home mom. I mean, I'm working now, but still, like, you know, prior to that, I spent a year and a half not really working, being on maternity leave. So, you all know that I am a feminist, and our relationship was absolutely equal. But the interesting thing about Tradwise is it seems to be something that can be appealing to people that are young, but every single woman that I have met that has reached 40, 50, whatever, ends up in divorce with nothing because they allowed certain things to be put into place. Like, for example, having been on mat leave, I didn't have access to contributing to my superannuation, didn't have income, etc. I relied on Adrian. So if we were to divorce, those things are being taken into account. Those things are going to be addressed then and there. That, well, although I was at home with our mutual agreement raising our child, so how does that compensate? Is that compensated for me? Because otherwise I've just lost literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in superannuation or income for our mutual child. So how does that work? How is that compensated, etc.? And often these people, they don't have things in place. They don't have. This is why also I highly recommend if you're engaged to get marital, premarital counseling. You've heard me say it. I'm going to say it again. Get fucking premarital counseling. It is essential because so many people do not have these conversations until they're already married and they're already having a child. And all of a sudden this shit comes up. And it wasn't pre-discussed and it is a bomb drop. So get premarital counseling. Do it through me. Do it through someone else. I don't care. Just get it, please. You can see that on my website. Okay, moving along. And if they don't end up divorced, they end up deeply unhappy because they spent too many years putting their needs secondary to someone else's, and that takes toll. And I highly recommend, if that is resonating with you, read the book When the Body Says No. I can't remember his name. It is amazing. And a lot of this book is about how he has worked with people who have, you know, disease, chronic health issues, blah, blah, blah. And what he's realized is so many of these illnesses stem from people that had poor boundaries, were people pleasers, allowed others to walk along over them, and never asserted themselves or their needs. And it literally manifested into illness. And it's really sad. It's really scary, but it is shockingly eye-opening. So I highly recommend if that resonates to you. Gosh, it's hot. What's the temperature? 31 degrees. Okay. Self-sabotage. Big one. So that people that have low self-esteem, it can manifest into self-sabotaging behaviors like having like perfectionism, procrastination, avoiding opportunities for growth and success. And relationships in other areas of life because we don't feel worthy of it. Or I will not do something unless it is done to absolute perfection. Then I cannot find flaws in it. And if I know I cannot do it absolutely perfect, then I will not do it. And that is self-sabotage. That is what is holding you back. Or if you have to do something but you know it can't be perfect, you'll wait until the very last minute because you want that out of mind, out of frame. You want to avoid that discomfort. So you are procrastinating every inch you can to doing that. And finally, of course, low self-esteem hinders effective communication in your relationships. So this is obvious, but I just got to say it. If you have low self-esteem, you will struggle to express your needs and emotions openly. And that is going to lead to misunderstandings and unresolved conflicts. And it is not helpful, not conducive to a safe, healthy, loving, equal relationship. So anyway, overall, you can see that your low self-esteem is negatively impacting your personal well-being and also your relationships. It undermines your confidence. It fosters unhealthy relationship patterns. It hinders effective communication. It stops you from being assertive. And the best combination is therapy and self-care. That is how you can improve your self-esteem or learning as much as you can about it. But just be conscious when you pick up a book, your book is not taking into account things that are relevant to you, like your triggers, soft spot barriers, etc., challenges. It does not take those into account. So it might say, just do this and you'll feel better. And then you're doing it and doing it and doing it. And you're like, hang on, this is not working for me. Like a really simple, the most simplistic way I can explain this and give an example of this is often you see people like me talking about gratitude and writing down your gratitude or gratitude journaling or just journaling in general, etc. And I have had experiences throughout my life as a teenage girl having journals and bless my mother always reading them and using them against me. So as an adult, when every time I started a journal, even though I trust Adrian innately with every inch of my being and I know he wouldn't do it, I cannot help but write in my journal as though someone will be reading it other than me. So I might hide things, I'm not expressing my true thoughts, core, whatever, and that just wasn't, it wasn't helping me the way it was meant to help me. So I had to adjust based on taking that into account. I have a soft spot in my past, which is why that's not working for me. Whereas Adrian, he loves to write. He will write these things and find it so helpful. I just do not. And it's just a little barrier for me. So what I do instead is get out voice memos, and I will make voice memos in my phone when I'm walking alone. And it is, well, with Remy, I guess he hears them, but whatever. Like, it is profound. And the experience is amazing. And I remember when I did maybe it was NLP. I don't know. It was some kind of exercise I did when I was studying something. And they said, when you go to journal, like sometimes you'll be thinking about the day and you're like, I'm going to write about this later. I'm going to put that down in my book. And that's good. That is, you know, you should express yourself. You should release that within you or whatever. You should get that out. Put it out on paper, out of mind. Expressing it and talking about it is the first step towards healing it, which I think is another thing about reading these self-help books, is it's so internalized that sometimes you do need to externalize it a little bit in order to even move you further along and faster along and more effectively along. So if you have a loving friend that you can talk about these things with, I have a friend or two or three. I have a couple of friends that I bounce these thoughts off about myself all the time. In fact, me and one of my friends, we will send each other voice notes and I'll be like, I have literally just unpacked this crazy thing about myself. And the reason why this I've done ABC is because of this, and this is happening. She'll do the same. And it's like, it's really, it feels good. This feels good. And we validate it, be like, wow, that's amazing. Or that's incredible. What a cool finding. And then that's it. We just released it. Feels good. Light a load off your chest. Oh my God. Voice. I was like, what the fuck was I just talking about? Voice memos. So yeah, find a way that works for you. And when you read these books, it may not be like, here are four different options you can do based on, did this happen in your past? Did this happen in your past? Do you have this thought pattern? Do you have these tendencies? Do you have these cognitive distortions and do this? It will just give you either one option or it'll give you a few options, but not explain why you should do each one. Oh yeah, that's what I was saying. My God, sorry. What I was saying was, what you should do is have what this this practice I put. Oh my gosh, that's my child waking up. If you heard that, I'll just finish this sentence and then I'll go. This practice that I put into place when I was studying something, and the professor told me, when you go to journal, or for me when I voice note, I do this. I will just start a stream of thought. I'll put the pen to paper and see what comes out. Just write and write and write for 20 minutes, or talk and talk and talk for 20 minutes. And it is incredible. It's hard if you're a perfectionist, because you'll want to structure it in your head before doing it, being like, I'm going to bring up this, or I'm going to talk about this, even though you're literally talking to yourself or writing to yourself. Put the pen to paper, 20 minutes, see what comes out. Incredible. Anyway, I'm going to pause there. I'll be back. Child is awake. Bye. Okay. I'm back. This is like 2 minutes late and I'm with my child. So if you hear him talking, that's not me putting on a baby voice. That is my child sitting in my lap right now. But I realized I thought I was just getting started, but I was already almost an hour in. So I think I'm going to leave it there. Sorry to leave it on all the negatives. We'll get to the good parts soon. But I might do a part two either in a couple of days, or if not, I will do it next week. But yeah, I'll leave that there for now. So I hope that has been, I don't like when I don't wrap it up with the hope aspect and like, here's what you can do, or here are the positive ways of how it's going to impact your life when you do work on it. And I hate that I've kind of just been like, this is the way it's like really negatively impacting you, and then saying, bye guys, I'll see you next week. But it's been quite a while. So I think I will leave it there. And as always, if you want to work with me, message me on Instagram, hit up my website, and thank you for all the support and love I've been receiving lately. And I will see you guys next week. Bye.